John, how was your relationship with the press in those days? I know that nowadays it seems to be a little bit adversarial between the ball players and the media. Did you guys have a better rapport, did you feel?
Oh yeah, I think we did. I really do. A lot of them didn't know me.
Well, like after 61, I mean, you had a 302, 21 homers. You were in
there. Oh, yeah.
People got a chance to know you and stuff.
Well, yeah. I got along great with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have any problems at all. And, of course, I wouldn't, you know. We had so many stars in that ball club that's where they went, you know. And they should have. I mean, a lot of times, you know, guys would go over and writers would go to Mickey's locker, the Rogers locker, and ask questions. Hell, I'd follow him over to listen to what his answer was. And, but no, we had a real good rapport with him. I don't know what it's like today, Joe. I really don't know, other than I see and hear a lot of bad vibes coming out. I don't know, I think money's got a lot to do with it. A guy, you know, making $2-3 million a year, he may not have enough time for the press. He may not care. I mean, he doesn't need any publicity. He damn sure don't, because they don't have to tout or hype him. He's got it in the bank. Well, in that situation, you know, you probably don't have that much time for him.
1961, you mentioned the pressure on Maris and Mantle. What really stood out, there's one incident about both of those guys that showed how they, you know, their greatness as ball players that year. Is there any one thing that just stands out in your mind?
Well, I think the friendship between them. And that was a true, honest-to-goodness friendship. The media tried to make a fight out of it. They tried to start some baloney about Roger disliking Mickey or Mickey jealous of Roger, something like that. Well, that was the furthest from the truth you've ever heard, and I thought that was very unfair. But their friendship between them, and believe it or not, in a situation like that, they were competitive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that in their own right, they were trying to outdo the other one, trying to outdo him, and which was not in animosity, but it was in good, clean, competitive spirit. They were certainly the best of friends, and those were two super individuals. Believe me, they are right now. Mick's, of course, Roger's gone, but Mickey's unbelievable.
Did you or could you tell that the Yankees were kind of starting to slide as you got towards the end of your career with them, like in 64, after losing the pennant to the series to the Cardinals, and then the next year the team came back. You were traded from the team, I guess, early on, but did you guys kind of have a feel that some things were coming apart at all? Because you had just come off of 5 really strong years, and then kind of dropped really quickly. Any thoughts on that?
You know, CBS bought the ball club, and Jackie Gleason and Art Carney made the trades. You know, going back to what I said earlier, what the hell, if I finish in first place, you know, I'm going to come back, Joe, with that same ball club.
Sure.
I'm going to add maybe, I'm going to give a couple of players a good look in spring training. But basically, I'm going back with the nucleus that got me the last 5 pennants. Well, why change anything? Well, I don't know. They broke us up. And boy, they broke us up. Where'd they go from first to tenth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From first place to tenth place. And I don't know. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand that. As far as I was concerned, it was very poor, poor, very poor decision making from somebody. I don't know who it was. But that to me was an overkill, and as you say in the business world, it was a downfall.
What do you think is the reason there are so many fundamentally poor players in pro baseball nowadays?
Well, figure it out. instead of quality, you got quantity. And hell, they're adding two more teams. You need 50 more players. Where are they going to come from? You know what I mean?
Maybe they'll take me.
No. Well, I might make a comeback. But you got to field 50 more players. And, Joe, I don't... The quality is not there. The quantity is there, but not the quality. You just can't put... Here I go back again. When I play, there were 16 teams. And, buddy, the last place team in the American League at the time was the Red Sox or the Washington Senators. Well, those two ball clubs today, well, by gosh, I think that the Red Sox team from way back, they'd be going for the Eastern, they'd be going for the East first place division. Now you got, I've seen some ball players out there that I'll guarantee you, they would send them so far to the minor leagues when I played that you couldn't find them with radar. And now they're adding some more. So I think that you can put a major league uniform on anybody and let them go out and play and pay the price to see them. But that's not major league baseball.
Do you think that some of these guys should be spending a lot more time in the minor leagues?
Well, I definitely do. Learn how to play the game. And a lot of them are just spending 1 year, maybe 2 years. You got the exception. You got Robin Yount, you know, and guys like that that go right from high school to the big leagues or from college to the big leagues. In all due respect, too, the colleges have gotten to the point now where they are so good in their fundamentals and spring training and their knowledge. The coaches now are got regular routines that they go through that are, those are fantastic. And I don't think they had that years ago. But now that the training, who knows, maybe the 4 years a kid spends in college, maybe let's say that he spent 4 years in the minor leagues. He's got his education, and now he goes into pro ball, spends 1 year playing the game every day, and goes to the big leagues.
Did you have a favorite ball player that you liked to watch when you were actually in the majors? Was there some guy that really kind of, you said wow when you saw him play?
No doubt in my mind, it was Mickey Mantle. I enjoy watching him every day. I never got tired of watching this guy. He's that great. And I had the opportunity to catch against Ted Williams, and boy, could he hit. Whew. He was probably the best hitter. And the guy, the best all-around baseball player that ever lived. I never saw him play with Joe DiMaggio. And this is debatable. Willie Mays is, hey, look, if I had a coin and I had my pick, Mays, Mantle, and DiMaggio, or Williams. I think Williams is the greatest hitter that ever lived. But I wouldn't argue the point. If I lost the flip and got Willie Mays, what am I going to argue? What, are you crazy? This guy's great. You know, that's an unfair question. I shouldn't really to... it's so unfair to talk about it. But the only reason I'd take Mickey is because he could switch hit with power both ways. Mm-hmm. And... that meant a lot.
John, do you think spring training is helpful to most ball players, or is it something they could do without?
Oh, no, you got to have spring training. You definitely, you got to have spring training. If anything, just the legs, get in shape, and you got to get your timing down. No, that's a must, Joe.
John, you spent 9 years in the minors before you finally came up for good. Were you at times, let's say, depressed or concerned that you were never going to make the big leagues?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, everybody goes through that, especially if you had a bad night. But that's a concern of every minor league ball player there is. You know, and really, in a sense, Joe, that's good. Because you never lose that competitive edge. If once you lose that competitive edge, then you're just another double A ball player, and that's what you're going to be the rest of your life, and forget it. But they, yeah, you bet. As many nights, you know, you stay awake thinking, God, I don't know if I'll ever get there. You know within yourself what you can do and what you can't do, and you're worried about it. Doesn't seem like you're making progress, but you are. Yeah, that's a big concern.
Was there ever any point in your minor league career when you, whether it was for real or even just at that point in time, because you were kind of frustrated, hoping the Yankees would trade you so you would get a shot at the big league sooner, or did you?
No, I didn't feel that way. A lot of guys felt play me or trade me or get rid of me or whatever. No, I never felt that way. You know, Joe, I had limited ability. And especially when I got to the big leagues, you know, when I played, you had to have 5 years in the major leagues before you qualified, before you were a vested member in the pension plan. And boy, oh boy, that was my main concern. All those years I spent in the minor leagues and so on, they're nothing. You don't get no credit for that. Those are just shot years. So it finally dawned on me one time, I said, geez, I got to get 5 years in there or all this professional career doesn't mean a darn thing. And that was pretty exciting when I got my fifth year, man. I'm telling you, the baseball counts them right to the day. And when you finally qualify, you know exactly to the minute, you know, your fifth. But today now, an example today now, you spend one day in the big league, you get a pension.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yep. Uh-huh. One day. It's all you need to qualify. And it's a big difference in 5 years, you know.
Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Oh, man. I used to go home in the wintertime, Joe, and the guys say, let's go play basketball. I'd say, take a hike. Not me, pal. And if it was snowing out or it was too icy in Minnesota, you know, I never left. For fear of that accident. And it really got to be, I was a basket case for a long time there, all winter long, and until the seasons, I had 4 years and 4.5 years, or I had 4 years or something, and I sweated that one out. Well, God, what if you got hit, you know, by a car? What if you fell off a curb? All kinds of accidents, and your career is done.
Yeah, I agree.
And all those years are shot for nothing. No, I worried about that baby.
Did you know that your career was coming to an end when it, like in 65, did you get a feeling that it was just getting tough physically to keep up in the at the level you wanted to be at?